Hello, I'm Robert Bateman, and this is the Privacy Corner, where I talk you through my top three picks for privacy developments each week. And thank you, as always, to Privado AI for sponsoring the show. So I'm back after a week off last week to talk about three no's that have occurred in the past 7 days. The European Data Protection Board has said no to a lot of consent or pay models. California's privacy regulator has said no to the new US federal privacy bill. And the FTC has said no to Cerebral and also issued a $7 million proposed civil penalty for the company's alleged sharing of its users' sensitive information for advertising purposes. So first up, the EDPB has issued its consent or pay opinion. Pretty important stuff, but not a settled matter. The EDPB's language is full of coulds and shoulds and likely tos, and that's as to be expected. This is not a court judgment, and it also is confined to large online platforms. So what is a large online platform? Well, the EDPB has made them up. They say they may or may not be large online platforms or online platforms at all under the DSA. They may or may not be gatekeepers under the DMA. They have a large number of users. They process a lot of personal data. They have some sort of position in the market. It's a case by case thing, but we know one company is almost certainly a large online platform, and that's Meta. They are rarely mentioned outside of the footnotes in this opinion, but it's squarely about Meta. The consent or pay model at hand here involves at least two options. The first being consenting to the processing of your personal data for a particular purpose, in this case, behavioral advertising. And the second being paying a fee and getting access to the platform without that processing. So behavioral advertising, straight up, the EDPB says, is considered a particularly intrusive form of advertising, and it involves the observation of the behavior of individuals over time. They draw a lot on the Bundeskartellamt judgment from the CJEU last year, where the court said, in passing, an equivalent alternative not accompanied by such data processing operations, if necessary, for an appropriate fee, should be offered by Meta if they want to do behavioral advertising stuff. Now, there's a lot of pontificating on what the equivalent might mean, what the alternative might be, what if necessary means, and what an appropriate fee is. But essentially, the EDPB does not like what Meta's doing. That's the upshot. They also talk about one very clear statement from them is personal data cannot be treated as a tradable commodity. This they read into Article 8 of the Charter, and they are pretty clear about that. I mean, that's one of the few non-caveated statements they use. The language of the court is also dissected in German and French as well as English, and weakened for the purposes of the EDPB's analysis. So the social networks that they deem large online platforms can play a significant role in people's day-to-day lives, and they also can affect people's emotional or psychological well-being if they lose access to them. So this ties into the detriment language in Recital 53, I think it is. Effectively, if data subjects are denied access to these sorts of services by refusing to consent, that constitutes a detriment, according to the EDPB. They're quite clear about that. I mean, again, there's lots of coulds and shoulds here, but that's almost certainly their view. Essentially, the EDPB says Meta and other platforms could only do this if they offer a equivalent alternative for free that does not involve behavioral advertising. So you pay, or you consent to behavioral ads, or you get the same service if you refuse consent. Of course, Meta would not be able to do what it wants to do. You know, its business model depends on very strict targeting of users and very specific sort of cohorts and lots of data about people. So that would be a huge blow to their business model. But as I've said repeatedly, this doesn't settle the issue. We need a judgment from the CJEU to do that. Even then, I think that probably finds some wriggle room. Next up, the California Privacy Protection Agency, the CPPA, has come out against the federal privacy bill proposed last week while I was away, the American Privacy Rights Act. Now, this is all about preemption of California law, and that's what killed the last attempt at an American Federal Privacy Act. So the words of the CPPA are very, you know, they're not important in the sense that they don't have a vote on this bill, but they are telling of what California thinks. The law basically would preempt all these state privacy laws, or almost all of them, that have popped up over the last few years. So the CCPA itself, Virginia's law, Colorado's law, there are about 17 now, if you count those that have not yet been signed in Maryland and Nebraska. And it would not preempt everything. So data breach notification laws would not be touched. The Illinois BIPA would stay intact. Wiretapping laws, spam laws, certain healthcare laws, GLBA and HIPAA entities would effectively be exempt, but it would strip the CPPA of its powers. And the CPPA says the FTC's new powers would not lead to as strong a level of protection as it's able to provide to consumers. The CPPA also makes some pretty good points, I think, about the provisions of the APRA itself that it says are weaker than California law. So first, the automated decision-making technology regulations. One of these days, these are going to be finalized in California. I think they are 2 years late now, nearly, but they offer people the right to opt out of the use of personal information for training automated decision-making technology. That right doesn't exist under the APRA or the bill. So the CPPA says that that's weaker than California law. The APRA also has been criticized for how it treats data brokers. The law provides a do not collect request process, but the CPPA points out that data brokers would still be able to use the data they already have. Whereas the California Delete Act allows consumers to delete personal information collected by data brokers, you know, across the whole country. The APRA also has a narrower definition of sensitive data that doesn't include sexual orientation, union membership, and immigration status. So the CPPA points out that California law has better protections for those groups. And also there's some stuff about exemption for inferred data that the CPPA is not happy about. Some really good points here, I think. Last time around with the ADPPA, I was a bit more cynical about California's derailing of it. Now we have so many states with state privacy laws, does make things very complicated for businesses, but there's less of a strong argument, I think, from a rights point of view. Lots and lots of people in America now have privacy protection under state law, and there is a risk to weakening those. So finally, the FTC has issued another one of its FTC Act orders against Cerebral. This is a remote therapy provider. $7 million civil penalty and some very scathing criticism of its CEO, Carl Robertson. So there's the FTC Act, as I mentioned. There's also the Opioid Addiction Recovery Fraud Prevention Act and the Retail Online Shoppers Restore Online Shoppers Confidence Act, ROSCA, that Cerebral is alleged to have violated here. The stuff under the FTC Act is mostly pixels and tracking, which we are used to. We had BetterHelp, GoodRx, and what else? Flow, several health companies. Last week, in fact, there was Monument, a alcohol addiction clinic. Lots of health actions still coming from the FTC. And they made allegedly misleading statements about what pixels and trackers do, talking about non-personal information, aggregate information, and excluding any mention of Facebook from their privacy policy until December 2020. We know now over and over again, the FTC does not accept that pixels and trackers, etc., only share aggregate information. So avoid that sort of language in your privacy notices. The decision, the complaint, is scathing about the CEO, Robertson, who has refused to settle with the FTC and will face separate issues in court, and his kind of encouraging of these policies, lots of tracking, something about the refund policy as well being misleading, and also security issues, so access to data by employees, not cancelling ex-employees' access, for example, sending out postcards that reveal people's diagnoses to over 6,000 patients that were not in envelopes. That doesn't sound good. Allegedly, always allegedly. And failing to implement adequate policies and training, allegedly, here from Cerebral. So well worth reading this order. The FTC is not going to shut up about this stuff anytime soon. They've been very busy this year already. I don't expect that to stop. So thank you so much for your time and attention. I've been Robert Bateman, and thank you as always to Privado AI for sponsoring the show, and I'll see you next week.